our state constitution. We can kind of go over that. Brian, would you mind going over the highlights on that, kind of like you did with our code of conduct?
Our constitution, I think, for the most part, is much like the model constitutions that the NFB National recommends that states adopt. And it was last amended, last done in 2011, in that we voted on this at the October meeting in 2011. And at that time, Bill Packey was president. And so there hasn't been any changes. And it's pretty basic. It just talks about the name of the organization is the National Federation of the Blind. Two talks about the purpose of the NFB. The purpose of the National Federation of the Blind of Alaska shall be to advance the general welfare of the blind of Alaska and the nation, to function as an integral part of the National Federation of the Blind, to serve as a vehicle for collective action by the blind and the parents of blind children, operate as a mechanism through which the blind and interested sighted persons can come together to plan and carry out programs to improve the quality of life for the blind, to promote the vocational, cultural, and social advancement of the blind, to achieve the integration of the blind into society on a basis of equality with the sighted and through collaborative action, advocacy, and join with expression and take any other action which will improve the overall condition and standard of living for the blind. So that's purpose statement is important. We have a section that deals with active members. It says a majority of the active members of this organization shall be blind. And then that's a key part of it. And there's a lot of other things. You've got the copy of the Constitution. It's available in various, I think Kevin has sent it out. There is a PDF version. There's a Word doc version, I know. And I've got it in plain text. So, you know, we can get that out there if you want to see it.
And I think it's available on our website.
I think it's on the website too.
Yes.
So, as we saw here, we just had the elections. So that's done every 2 years, and people, well, I was just looking at the membership here. Number two looks interesting. All active members of local chapters and any other divisions automatically become active members of this organization with the right to vote and serve in committees, speak, and et cetera. And let's see, section three under that is any person who is not affiliated with a local chapter or division may become an active member of this organization by payment of their dues and by receiving a majority vote of the active members present and opting as voting at a convention. So anyway, that's section four. Oh, that's section two. Yeah. One of the things we have in our Constitution is dealing with supporting members. So any person may become a supporting member of this organization through procedures established by the convention or the board of directors. Supporting member shall have all the rights of and privileges of active members, except that they may not vote, hold office, or serve on the board of directors. Supporting member shall not pay dues. I don't know. I'd have to look at the model constitution and see that most of the time, I don't think people do that. It might be, you know, sighted members that want to help out. And if it's a situation that sometimes we could come into where if everybody that wanted to help out joined, then we wouldn't have a majority of blind people in our organization anymore. Section three deals with disciplinary action. Any member, chapter, or division may be suspended, expelled, or reorganized for violation of this constitution or for conduct unbecoming to a member, chapter, or division of this organization by a majority of the active member present and voting at any regular business meeting of this organization or by a two-thirds vote of the board of directors. If the action to be taken by the board of directors, if there's action to be taken, there must be good cause and a good faith effort must be made to try and resolve the problem by discussion and negotiation. If the action is to be taken by the state convention, notice must be given on the proceeding day at an open board of directors meeting or a session of the state convention. The state convention of this organization may reinstate any person, chapter, or division who has been expelled unless such expulsion has been confirmed by a national convention or by the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind, in which event the person may not be reinstated except by the national. Okay. Hopefully we don't ever have to deal with that. There's a thing, there's some stuff here as far as pursuing a grievance there, I guess, if there's some disagreement. Article 4 deals with local chapters. Now, as many of you realize here, in a number of years, we don't really have any active local chapters at this point. I mean, we kind of have gone to an all-state model at this point. The Fairbanks chapter dissolved some years ago. The Anchorage chapter isn't actively meeting. As Bonnie was president, we went to an all-state kind of thing, in which that's what we have at this point. Mm-hmm. So, but a chapter could be organized in a, if there were enough people that could come together and do that, say down on the Kenai somewhere, or, Fairbanks,
Juneau,
you know, somewhere where there's enough folks that could do that. So I'm just going to skip a lot of that at this point. Let's see.
Then it goes down to the election of officers.
What's that?
Then he goes right past the divisions and past the chapters.
Yeah, and election of officers. Well, you just saw how that works.
Yes.
We go on a 2-year basis here. So every 2 years we elect and we conduct those elections. There are, I guess, some concerns we've had. We're not going to get into that. Let me just look at, I just got out of it. I hit escape too many times and it went away.
Beauty question.
Yeah, go ahead.
With the members and stuff, is there a certain way if we want to look at talking about reorganizing, as in like making other different memberships or other ways, like a coordinator for certain activities? I know we create different committees within the board of directors, but if instead of doing first and second vice president, but maybe doing other different types of board members, what's the process for that? Just out of curiosity, if to help with spreading the delegation of all the different stuff that it takes a lot to be a board member and different staff, that maybe people have specialties in certain things that they want to like pursue this section of, you know, helping out in as a member.
I think that's where committees come in, unless you want to create a division or a chapter. That's where creating committees and committee chairs would be put into place and, of course, delegated by the board of directors to put in place.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and one of the things I think, you know, that's the thing. I think as we've talked about this type of thing, and I know we've had some discussions in the past with Mark Maurer when he was here, you know, It's best, you know, the convention is the governing body of us. You know, we are, when we're here as the convention, we can do things, and the Constitution is for us. I mean, you know, I don't know how to express that. I'm losing my train of thought there. But I think the idea too is, I was going to get back to the amendment. We can amend the Constitution if we want to. And I know there's been some talk of that, and we haven't done anything like that for about 13 years. But as Article 15 deals with that specifically, this Constitution may be amended at any general session of a state convention of this organization by an affirmative vote of 2/3 of the active members present and voting, provided the proposed amendment has been submitted in writing and read at a previous general session, and provided it is in compliance with the provisions of the Charter of Affiliation received by the state affiliate from the National Federation of the Blind, and complies, with the National Federation of the Blind. I mean, that's not likely going to be an issue. It's just a thing that, you know, if we suddenly decided that we wanted to have a radically different policy that did not go along with the National Federation of the Blind, obviously that wouldn't, you know, we couldn't do that. We wouldn't want to do that. But so we can change it. You know, we could talk about that. We went through that. I had some experience with that in the Fairbanks North Star chapter. Probably that was back in 2012. Jim Burton and some of us, we went through some of that to make a few changes. It wasn't to change, you know, the direction of the organization by any means. But as time goes on, you know, we find out sometimes that there's some things that might have been fine 20 years ago, you know, when this one of these conventions I saw was like 1991, on one of these constitutions, I'm sorry. And so, you know, you need to make some changes. One of the things that was a little bit concerning a few times here is a thing that says we got to have 15 people present here in order to, you know, conduct business in the session here. And it says that the one point here, it says at least 15 present and active members must be there to constitute a quorum to transact business at any annual convention. Well, you know, we've gotten smaller in years, and I think it might make sense at some point to say, let's, instead of saying a specific number, say a percentage of our membership,
mm-hmm.
you know, that might mm-hmm. make more sense. I mean, hopefully we'll grow more, but at this time, you know, with the numbers decreasing, that's been a bit of a challenge sometimes. So.
Awesome.
This is the first times that we've experienced needing a quorum, and you know, I was kind of communicating to a lot of individuals wanting to make sure they were here on Zoom, so we had a quorum for our election today. So that is something to be considered for our next convention, a resolution put forth to reduce the number and have it be in majority. Kelsey called for it.
Thank you, Lori. I just want to say that I know that the Constitution can be kind of wordy and confusing, but kind of to summarize what Brian just said, that basically we are just kind of discussing it today, and if like any of these changes we want to make will be made next year at next year's convention. And as Kevin is discussing a resolution, that is also something that can be wordy and confusing, but is definitely, we can help through the process. And if you have any concerns or thoughts or wants to pursue any changes, we definitely are open to your thoughts and opinions. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey. Go ahead, Tom.
Is there anything in the Constitution that governs the creation of the nomination committee?
Tom, to answer your question, that is covered in Article 13 of the Constitution.
And we have a question from Carol.
When you make any changes to this document, is it resubmitted to the national organization? All right. So the one thing I would advise, I do a lot of professional editing. We need to update the signature because I believe it says 2011 or 2012 and the NFB president at that time. So when you resubmit it, please update the signature and date.
Yes, and of course, that was the last time that it was updated and done, but still, it is our active Constitution that we abide by.
I do want to say I appreciate that we're having this exercise because, as you're seeing, there are some questions here. It's important for us to be able to go through this document and really understand how our organization works and also things like the purpose that are really crucial. As far as bylaws, what I would say is that a bylaws change is not something that is to be undertaken lightly. And of course, the numbers that are called for in the Constitution sort of prove that out. But it's not to say that it can't and shouldn't be done. For example, you know, there are chapters or there are affiliates that stagger their board positions so that, for example, not all of your officers and board members turn over at the same time, but say you have odd numbered positions and even numbered positions. And that way, if there was ever a changeover, you wouldn't necessarily have everybody leaving the board at the same time. I will tell you the most important one that we did when I was president of Minnesota is that for many, many years, decades, in fact, Minnesota had two conventions a year. And that was a lot. We had one in May and we had one in October, and it was codified in the state constitution. So I was, you know, we talked with the members. We had lots of discussions about how having two conventions a year meant that, you had two sort of good conventions, but you didn't have one really great one, and that it could be really helpful over a period of a year to spend time developing a convention as opposed to having to do one every 6 months and scrambling for a new place to go, a new set of speakers, that sort of thing. And after a lot, you know, there was some pushback on that because it had been such a tradition for us for a number of years. But by going through the democratic process, by having the necessary conversations, people were willing to make that change. So I think, you know, to summarize all of that, updating the bylaws can be a very good and helpful thing for the organization. Just make sure that when you consider doing it, you do so mindfully and with lots of discussion beforehand.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yes.
I would just, having been through this a few times before, I would think if we wanted to undertake something like this and review this, that we would want to establish a committee that would, look at some of these ideas. And, try to, I don't know if we could do what we talk about amendments. This document talks specifically about amendments. And it's probably better not to try to wholesale. The last revision was a pretty major one, from what I recall. And I don't know that it's necessary to do a lot. You know, there's a few things that definitely be helpful and, to have a committee to do that. And then report back to, the board and president. And we're small enough here, we might end up most of our board members actually being part of that. But that would seem to be the way to start the whole ball rolling, I think.
I would be willing to chair a committee if there's anyone interested in being on the committee. Approach me or we can have the conversation and talk to Kevin about it a little more, but I am definitely willing to chair that committee.
Absolutely. I think we can do with a couple of committees. I would like to see a membership committee, constitution and bylaw committees. That is a great option. I would like to see a planning committee. I would like to see a fundraising committee. There's plenty of work for all of us to do. We have a new board, and I would like to challenge each and every one of you to go out in this next year and try and recruit one or two more members. If we each got one member to join, we would double our population at this time. Although we are a little bit light this year, last year we had close to 50 people in attendance. I think the snowstorm and the weather kind of had a something to do with it, and it could be outreach as well and location, but at the same time, I think we've had a pretty outstanding convention this year. We've been able to conduct our business. We've got some issues to look forward to and to tackle here in the future. So I am really open and love the fact that we could talk about this constitution and what we can do to better it and better the affiliate. And again, changing things is, change is necessary. And, we'll take things as they come, as they present themselves to us as needed.
Katie.
Yes, Katie.
It sounds like there's a lot of great conversation. I'd like to see in the next couple of years, maybe some additional small gatherings and social activities so we can build the community and build the membership, getting to know the community of the blind community and those in the resources. I think tagging on and doing that would be something really cool, not just doing on the recreational side, but just having a barbecue here and there to hang out and socialize, get to know each other, to know interest, some of the different aspects, as well as playing the beatball and some of the other fun recreational things that we do within and expanding outreach in the community.
Absolutely. And I know since the pandemic kind of put a hiccup in a lot of our get-togethers, people aren't as skittish as they were. And I agree. Let's get some social interactions. I know some of us that work at Ground Zero, when it comes to meeting and interacting with the blind community, we get to nurture, encourage, and get people to want to be part of our organization. So, we are the example we set for others that want to be part of this organization.
I have a challenge for everybody in this room. Kevin kind of said it earlier, but our monthly Zoom state call meetings, our attendance has been increasing, and that's because I've been challenging every individual who attends to bring a friend. So my challenge to everyone in this room is to make it to our monthly Zoom calls, pretty please, first Wednesday of the month, and if so, bring a friend.
Yes, and tell us a little more about that monthly affiliate membership meeting, the affiliate membership meeting. What do we do on
Yeah,
that?
Gladly, Kevin.
Yes.
So we've been doing some trivia at our monthly meetings and some jokes, but we also get together and kind of as a community discuss some of the challenges that we're having, and we will listen to the monthly presidential release, which has recently changed to a 15-minute announcement. So, yeah. No longer do we have to sit through 30 to 45 minutes of a presidential release.
Hey, Kelsey, this is Pam. Can you let everybody know that may not know or to remind them what time this starts?
Yes, that's my question, too. And there will be an email going out prior to it with the time, with the Zoom link.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Pam and Charlie, for that question. Charlie had the same question you did, Pam. So our monthly calls are on the first Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And keep an eye out for an email from Linda. If you aren't getting our current emails, please let us know and we can add you to the list.
Reach out, find another friend, challenge them to be part of the National Federation of the Blind. We can double our attendance. You know, it's the example we set that encourages others to be part of our movement.
So you guys have at-large meetings, and I know people have spoken in the past about chapters that have met. Are there not currently active chapters within the organization? Okay, so the chapters have, and that's like officially on paper. They have dispersed. They've turned in their bank accounts, all that other kind of stuff. Okay. I'm being told yes from in the room. One of the things that I appreciate about the fact that you guys are meeting at large is that you're still meeting. But also, Alaska is large in general. You can certainly set up a chapter with three people. You have a president, a vice president, and a secretary/treasurer. But oftentimes, when you do that, it's harder to get traction. You can do it in big population centers, but once you get out of big population centers, it's a little bit harder. And so the at-large thing can be a really useful to make sure that people stay engaged. What I would encourage of all of you guys here, as I have been having conversations with various people from this affiliate this weekend and learning about everything from the different types of salmon to how the BEP program works to how people have attended Washington seminars and conventions in the past to the geography to the different sports that people take part in. And I would also add to that the very unique and special culture of the state of Alaska is that there are opportunities, I think, for folks to really lean into the things that make you unique as part of the National Federation of the Blind. I think it's great that we have all of these partner organizations that we are part of. But I think there are certain things that the NFB is uniquely qualified to take on. One of those things that comes up for me, just as I've been learning from all of you, is it would be really fascinating as a part of the museum and a part of our history to learn how blindness has been handled in, say, Native populations. What have the experience of Alaska Natives been like if they grew up blind in some form or fashion? And the thing that's really cool is you guys have a lot of expertise here. You have outdoors people, you have business people, you have audio people, you have musicians. Use those things that make you unique and find some things to do that only Alaskans who want to drive forward progress for blind people can do. I think you've got a great group of people to make that happen.
Thank you for your comments, particularly concerning our Native population. My husband, Charlie, has passed away, but when he was alive, due to brain cancer, he lost his vision, and he received local services, but we sought out other resources nationally and even internationally. At the time, our quest was to find out if anywhere in the world they were doing optic nerve regeneration. But just recently at the Center for the Blind, there was a guest speaker. I believe his name is Dr. Zumbra, and he's an ophthalmologist who is now working at the Alaska Native Medical Center. And during this gathering here, I did wonder about how we can invite more blind people in our Native community to join NFB. So I'll speak to Pete McCall, and we'll contact Dr. Zumbra and see if we can arrange that in the future. But thank you for that wise suggestion.
And the, one of the nice things about it is one of our rural outreach specialists is a member of the NFB, and he does rural travel, and he does get out and meet the Native population and provide services for them. So we have boots on the ground in rural, in Nome, in Bethel, in Kotzebue, in Kodiak, Juneau, all over the state of Alaska. And this individual is just getting his feet wet doing the rural outreach. So that's something in the works, in the plans. So we're just getting started with the rural outreach. And with the broadband being accessible all over the state, things are looking promising there as well for the at-large members.
Well, that's the biggest problem is the broadband.
Yeah,
for them to get online with us.
And again, like I mentioned to them when I was at the seminar, just because they have access does not mean it's accessible. The Center for the Blind, the NFB, need to be right there involved with them to train them, to let them know how to go about, you know, just because you have it set up to the modem doesn't mean you know how to put in the Wi-Fi and make sure it's accessible and make sure you have access to it. There's it's more than just putting the cable to the house. It's not that simple. You know, for others, they can plug in, they see on the TV, enter Wi-Fi, you know, enter the password here, set up or get it set up and follow the steps on hand. But if it's not accessible, it's not, just because it's accessible does not mean it's accessible. So, and CB and I have, we went to the seminar, we've been in communication with them. This is in the works. This is something that is happening as we speak. Again, the state of Alaska got $2.6 billion for rural outreach for broadband in Alaska. You heard Senator Sullivan talk about the importance of rural outreach and broadband in Alaska. So it is important, and we are involved with it.
This is Bonnie. Can I say something about chapters and so forth? So I left. I was president until 2022. At that time, I stepped down as I was going to be moving the next year. During the pandemic, All right. Let's start before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, and for those 10 years before that, while I was chapter president and then became affiliate president, we had a pretty good chapter going. We definitely had some weeks we actually had, some months we actually had as many as 14 or 15 people, particularly in the summer when we had a couple students come and a few young people and things like that. We had it at the center. We encouraged people to bring refreshments to share, and it was great. I felt like we were really making some things happen. When the pandemic happened, we went on lockdown, of course, and I determined at that time that we would just invite everyone around the state to attend our meetings. That was how because I knew we had people. Well, first off, I should say that during that time, probably 2017, maybe 2016, maybe a little earlier, somewhere in that framework, the Fairbanks chapter was dissolved. And that was the only other chapter besides Anchorage. We had one or two people in several places until Linda came along. There was only one other person that I knew of in Juneau. That was Claudia. And I think she and I, when I visited her she came to some of our meetings when she was in town and she lived in Anchorage for a while. But we just didn't seem to have, you know, oh, yeah, and I guess we did have someone else who lived there for about a year, a gentleman who was teaching in the school district. But the reality was that I never was able to go to Juneau. It was very hard to make connections, and that is always the difficulty in Alaska. So ultimately, my thought when I was president would have been to have an at-large chapter and the Anchorage chapter until we could get more people in other major areas, such as Kenai, maybe a chapter out there in the valley, also in Fairbanks again, and Juneau. So those were the places, those are the largest places where it seemed fitting to have chapters eventually if we could come up with enough people. And we would kind of make inroads a little bit. Someone would come to a convention from one of those locations. It is just, and maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just not the leader who could do that. So when I left, we were doing both Zoom and meeting at the center. I was encouraging people to come to the center. I came to the center every single month as soon as we got off lockdown, and a few people would come. And so if I were still there, I would certainly recommend that the Anchorage chapter meet in person as much as possible. And I would also be hoping for an at-large chapter so that those who don't live in Anchorage but want to attend a meeting with other people who have similar situations where they live in small communities, they deal with services that are a little less accessible than in Anchorage. Those people then could have a chapter where they really connected with one another. And if I could make any recommendation to all of you, it would be to think about getting your Anchorage chapter up and running again. Ryan, I hope that helps you a little bit to understand a little bit about the history as well as the rest of you. I want you to know that I still miss Alaska. And if I could be there, in many ways, I would be there still. But I'm not. I'm here. And I love it here, too. But I miss all of you. And I want to say to Carol Alfarrell, I'm so glad you have gotten involved in the NFB. That would have been my wish for you. To all of you, I say thank you so much for being my friends, for making my life as a almost 13-year-long Alaskan resident wonderful, beautiful, exciting, challenging, and I appreciate all of you so much. And I'll just stay on for a second if anyone wants to make any comment, but thank you again.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. And all I can really say is that if it wasn't for Bonnie, I wouldn't be carrying myself the way I do as a blind person today. I give her full responsibility for the attitude that I have and how I carry myself because she gave me one heck of an example to follow. And I'll never forget it. You want to be a confident blind man or you want to be a struggling sighted man? You need to make up your damn mind. And,
I don't think I said it quite like that, but it's okay, Kevin. I definitely felt that way, and I still
do.
That's
exactly how I heard it.
Okay.
And she
I'm not going to argue.
She looked at me like she was 8 foot tall, shaking her finger at me, too.
Sticking my tongue out at him once in a while. He didn't know that.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I give Bonnie full responsibility how I carry myself as a blind person today because she set a heck of an example. And she has been a major impact on me and my life and how I carry myself as a blind man because she set the great example that I get to follow today. Thank you so much, Bonnie, and a big thank you to everybody else online. I think we're going to break for the banquet.